Hi, it's Greg and Lucky.
And this is our podcast. If you don't catch us from 5 to 9, this is what you missed.
When I first heard this story about this guy out in Alberta, I thought, well, this isn't a problem. Who wouldn't want this? But it has become a problem. There's a guy in Alberta being harassed by endless pizza deliveries.
Endless.
It's been happening for the last 6 months. And he can't get it to stop. At first, they were coming from some pizza joint in Alberta called Pizza 73. The orders were using not only his address, but also his email and his phone number. Now, they weren't being charged to his card, so that's good.
Okay.
But the delivery drivers do get upset when he says he didn't make the order and sends the pizza back. He reported the pizza deliveries to the police from the start because he was spooked by how scammers were using his personal information in the orders. He thought maybe he had been somehow hacked. Police told him to change his number, so he did. That didn't stop the deliveries. They didn't just go to his home. They also showed up at his work. He called this Pizza 73 place and told them not to accept any orders under his name. But then the scammers switched to Domino's.
Wow. So what's the scam here?
I don't know why this is happening. He doesn't know why this is happening. He does say, I hope the food isn't going to waste. Like, hopefully they're giving it to a food bank or something. And then he goes on to say this, and I don't think I would share this information, because he looks like he's probably, from the photo, like he's probably in his late 20s.
Right.
He says, I don't know where they're coming from. He says, it can't be a disgruntled ex because I've never dated anyone. I'd keep that information to myself.
Yeah, that's a little too much information on the story, dude.
Unless he's looking for a pity hump.
Right. And what ex just starts delivering pizzas over and over again?
Right.
It seems like,
I mean, someone's
better
paying.
Ways to get back at someone.
Someone has to be paying for them, right?
You would think it's cash on delivery.
Yeah, because when I place an order, if I go pick up, I pay when I pick it up, not when I put in the order.
Yeah, it's pickup. That's not delivery. A lot of times now you're paying everything first. You can still pay at the door.
Mm. Either someone hates the pizza places, which can't be the thing, because, again, if they're paying for the pies, but, yeah, maybe they're ordering them in, nobody's paying for them, and they're just going to waste. And, of course, it's costing the restaurant and the delivery guy.
Right.
But if I'm going to have something endlessly delivered to my house, I'll take a pizza.
Yeah.
It's better than the bills that endlessly show up at my house.
That's true.
You know, I don't want those either. Anyhow, yeah, so nobody can seem to figure out what the angle is here. Like,
we had an issue at one point with a food delivery service that was was hacked, like one of our apps, and there was food being ordered to other places through our account, and we had to go through and kind of say, no, we didn't do this. We weren't here at this point in time to collect this food.
See, therein lies why I go collect my own food.
Right.
Those apps are no good. The appies are...
Oh, that technology.
I hate it. See what happens?
You go collect your food, then churn your butter. And
yeah, I do. I milk my own cow. Do it all myself. What do we got? Two more games in the regular season for the Leafs? So they're done on Wednesday night or Thursday night?
Tonight and Thursday. It's tonight in Florida, Thursday in Tampa. So two games left. The question is whether they would want to rest Austin Matthews for these final two.
Yeah, why not?
And give him a little break, but he's on the verge of scoring 70 goals.
Right.
So Leaf fans may question that move should it happen.
Hmm. Well, there was an interesting little survey done, because it's been 30 years since the last time the Stanley Cup was won by a Canadian team, and of course that being the Montreal Canadiens.
Uh-huh.
And now it is believed from about, they talked to like about 1,500, 2,000 people or something, which two Canadian teams do you see making it to the Stanley Cup final, and it is the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Edmonton Oilers.
Okay.
If they could make it. So what do we think of that?
Well, I think it's a very hard trophy to win. You know, the people who are Leaf
All
fans
right, that's enough.
And passionate, I get it.
I've lost interest.
Right. I know you lost interest before you even started asking the question. You look at where things sit right now, and there's a lot of arguments as to whether or not they should change the playoff format back to being just one plays 16 or one plays 8 in each conference kind of thing. And going away from this whole wild card scenario, because it's made it one a little bit easier, not easier to get in, but things are decided way too quickly. The conference winners, division winners, and you're basically, there's a wild card race, but the Leafs have known for a few weeks now that they're into the playoffs and likely going to play Florida. I mean, it could change if Florida wins and Boston loses. But in the end, it becomes a very hard trophy to win. This is going to be one hell of a playoff battle to get there. And, you know, injuries will play a factor in all of this. And down the stretch, that happened with Florida last year when they got to the final and had guys who were really banged up. You've got a situation now in Vegas with Mark Stone, who hasn't played all season long, coming back from injury, miraculously able to play in game one of the playoffs, it looks like, although they didn't have to count him against the salary cap for the entire year.
And is he a big deal?
Well, I mean, he's their captain. He's a guy who's, you know, one of their best players and scoring players. And this is what you're seeing now. You're seeing teams who have a guy injured. The Leafs are kind of doing the same with Matt Murray, perhaps, although he's not as high an impact and I'm not even sure if he'll play. But you're seeing guys who are injured who just don't count to the salary cap because they go on long-term injured reserve, and then they appear for the first game of the playoffs. A lot of people are making some noise as to whether or not, if you don't play for the season, can you still be available for the playoffs? Because they get by without using your salary, right? Or should there be a salary cap in the playoffs as well? Because there's not one. I would agree that if there's two teams that have a chance, you know, Toronto is up there just based on the fact that they're the one in the East that has an opportunity for Canadian teams. Edmonton in the West, yeah, goaltending's been suspect for them. Vancouver's been really good all season long and faltered at times. Winnipeg still has to be in the conversation because of Connor Hellebuyck. They've got great goaltending.
It's exactly what I thought.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I'm reading the note that you slid to me.
Yeah.
Well, with all of your hockey knowledge.
Is Nick Borchesky still in the lineup? The last time I think I watched a Leafs game. Was that 93, 94, something like that?
Oh, Nikolai.
Oh, he was good. And I guess, is this the first year that they've done this? Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment is allowing tailgating around the playoff games. Have you heard about this?
I don't know if it's the first time. I mean, they've had that Maple Leaf Square going for quite some time. I just don't know if it'd been licensed the whole way. Why not?
Although the bars and restaurants around there wouldn't be happy about that necessarily.
Right.
You know,
well, I mean, Real Sports, I think they own. So, I mean, that's a big part of it. Others would, yeah, they'll be fine with it. If you're going to line up down in that part and have a drink, you might as well. I think the bars will still be packed anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, playoff time is just a huge time in all sports, but certainly in Toronto.
We shall see. So when does it actually get going? When would be the first game for the Leafs and Panthers?
If it is them, they're probably looking for the weekend in terms of wrapping things up. I think you're looking at weekend dates for the first round of the playoffs. Oh, and it is back-to-back, by the way. It's Tuesday and Wednesday that they play.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the season wraps up on Thursday, at least play on Wednesday.
I can only hope that if the Leafs go to Game 7 Stanley Cup Final, it ends the same way the Billy Joel concert did. Remember there was a time when people would come to your door and you'd happily bounce to it and open it up and, hey, we've got visitors, we've got people coming by. Sebastian Maniscalco has a great joke about how his parents always had cake standing by, some sort of treats. They had people dropping in. People used to just drop in for a visit. Have a coffee and some sort of sponge cake. Well, now we just don't want anybody at our house. We don't want anybody showing up. We want to be alerted if they're even walking up the driveway. We want to scold them if they get too close.
Mm-hmm.
We really have gotten territorial with the house.
Yeah.
And, of course, doorbell cameras are all the rage right now. And it's being taken to another level. Apparently, there's a Kickstarter on the way for a device called Paint Cam Eve, which has the capability to fire paintballs at a target. We are out of our minds. We have just gone insane.
I was going to say, I mean, in the States, there are people have been shot for going door to door and ringing on someone's doorbell.
These paintballs will have ultra high precision. So, yeah, somebody's walking up to maybe be a porch pirate and steal something.
Right.
But it could be even just a local kid coming around and dropping off the paper.
Yeah.
You know, so somebody's getting sued. Or it could be a pet. Somebody's dog walks by your front door. Anyhow, it's a smart device with facial recognition, and the paintball firing can be triggered by you as you're watching on your app, or it can be automated. What could go wrong with that?
Yeah, I can't see any problems coming into this thing.
And it just doesn't shoot paintball pellets. It can also be loaded with cartridges that can unleash tear gas.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
There's no word on how much it'll cost or what the upkeep fees would be to keep it loaded. And, of course, the other cost would be the lawsuits.
Right, yeah. Just put a little fart canister in there. That'll keep people away.
Yeah. We had some medicine delivered to our house from a nice lady that lives three or four doors away, because somehow the delivery guy got the address wrong and dropped it off there, which, again, shows how many, and I'm sure there's a lot of great delivery people all doing their job. It's not an easy gig. We've heard about the Amazon drivers peeing in jars and the whole thing. But I've seen it myself, because with my house, the way it's set up, it's a side split. So I can be in my living room and see down to my front door. And I have seen guys just chuck packages at the front door.
Oh, yeah.
Packages that included laptops. Yeah,
they're in such a rush.
Yeah.
That they're just running, slam it down, off to go.
But this lady, this medication had been delivered, and you're supposed to sign for it. Well, the delivery guy didn't even have anybody sign for it. Just threw it at the door. He had gotten the wrong address, so she brought it over to us, which was very nice of her to do. If I had had this paint can camera, she would have taken a pellet in the face.
You know, and it's funny just how we are with our neighbors and in our neighborhoods now, and generally how we get along with people. There are many who would have that package delivered to their door wrong, and instead of just walking it down the four houses, would call that place back and tell them to come pick it up.
Probably.
Or just leave it there and not do anything with it. You'd be there without your pills.
I need my pills. I have a little court cul-de-sac just up the street from me, and there's a house there that has the same number as me. And there has been, stopped now, but for a while there, I was getting their mail constantly. Mm. And I would always take it over, because it would be during the day, so nobody is home, and I'd just drop it in their mailbox and be on my way. But with this new technology, it would even make me, I just wouldn't go. I don't take paintballs in the face for trying to be a nice guy. It's making us more and more, you know,
insulated.
Yeah. It is interesting and odd, because we love to have stuff delivered. So we order everything.
Yeah.
And yet we don't want anybody coming to the house. Well, you can't have the best of both worlds.
No. Yeah. But we want to see that it's there.
Yeah.
Right. Like when it gets delivered. You know, we were expecting a package, and you want, and if you're not going to be home, you want to see if it's landed, and then you can get your neighbor to go get it for you or something like that. But they even have lock boxes they put onto porches now, where you can, you know, open it up or give the Amazon a code to put that in there to keep that away from porch pirates.
And we wonder why there's so many storage units going up.
Yeah, that's it. Know. It's stuff.
Oh, yeah, this stuff gets delivered. It gets dropped off, but it's like a fastball to your front door the way they're pitching this stuff in.
Right.
Because you're right. They just got to move on to the next place. And now, of course, they're going to – if we got paintball cameras, they're going to stand out in the street and just heave that crystal you ordered. Now, this might not be good for Alec Baldwin. The armorer on the set of the movie Rust has been sentenced to 18 months in prison. For involuntary manslaughter, that's the maximum she could have received. Prior to her sentencing, part of her problem was prosecutors said she showed no remorse for the death of the cinematographer.
Now, that shouldn't be a problem for Alec Baldwin, though. I mean, it probably will end up being, just because you know, vitriol online wanted, you know, some wanted him punished, especially in a lot of right wing posters who didn't like his Trump portrayals and stuff like that.
Right, right.
But I mean, if the armorer now has been found guilty of, you know, improper use of that firearm or storage or whatever, preparing that firearm on set, is it even more in line with his story that he didn't know what, you know, he had nothing to do with other than the fact that he was handed this set prop gun and then it went off?
Oh, I just think that if she gets the full 18 months, then he might be facing some time because they were both, you know, he pointed the gun at her and shot it. And this wasn't even, well, cameras were rolling. Like,
there might have been. But I mean, they think they were preparing for the shot with the story. Like, that's what he was supposed to be doing.
Right.
It's not like he was just farting around with the thing, you know, playing pretend cops and robbers.
Well, and he's probably going to have a little better defense.
Well,
he can afford a little more,
I think. Well, and he can show remorse as well.
Yeah.
He's shown that already.
She allegedly called the jurors who convicted her idiots and a-holes.
Wow.
She also said witnesses lied and the judge was paid off. Is she going to the school of Trump?
Holy cow.
Jesus. I'm just going to follow what Donald says.
Yeah.
It's still not clear how live rounds ended up on the Rust set. The armorer was offered a plea deal if she admitted she had brought them, but she turned it down. Alec Baldwin's involuntary manslaughter trial is scheduled to begin in July. And just like her, he could get 18 months.
Yeah, I guess, you know, the problem, I guess the problem for him is not necessarily from the acting perspective and that he pulled the trigger. It's more like he was a producer of that movie. So he would have hired her.
Yeah.
So if there's some guilt along the chain of command, that's the issue, right?
But then he, probably. But he could also then pawn that off onto anybody, right? I produced it. I put up the money, but I didn't bring her aboard. I didn't even know who she is.
Well, but, you know, maybe that's some negligence in not doing your due diligence to hire a proper armorer. Who knows? Right. You know, the chain of command is a weird one there.
If I was a betting man, I'd say he doesn't do any time, but. I just think sometimes a precedent is set, and then it's tough to shake that. OJ's white Bronco, the 93 Ford Bronco, could go for $1.5 million.
Well, who has it? It's still around.
It's at a museum, a crime museum in Tennessee, and the owners are thinking about selling it. They at one point had offers up to $750,000, but now, of course, with OJ passing, that price has jacked up.
Hanging on to that.
And plus, it's the 30th anniversary of the chase, right?
Right,
so, $1.5 million for that. A 93 Ford Bronco. Normally would have gone for about...
Who wouldn't pay for that?
Normally would have gone for about $500.
That's out of AC Cowling.
Yeah. He's living in it, actually. He comes with it. You get him.
He's your driver.
Yeah. Have you ever wondered what the story is behind Harrison Ford's earring? Like, he got an earring late in life and still is rocking it.
Okay.
You see him on interview shows. You're like, wow. You're in your 80s and you're still donning that that earring. Anyhow, he says during the Jimmy Buffett tribute concert, he got the earring because of Jimmy's infectious coolness. He says one long day of a boozy lunch with Jimmy and Ed Bradley. He says it was Bradley's birthday. I saw both of them had earrings. So right after lunch, I got my ear pierced. His coolness is infectious enough for a 40-year-old man to spontaneously get his effing ear pierced and infectious enough to create an entire culture around his music. There will never be another Jimmy. Now, the only problem with his story is Harrison would have been actually 55, not in his 40s when he got that ear.
Well, a few extra margaritas at that lunch, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, here's some irony for you. Courtney Love has a new radio series called Courtney Loves Women. And in an interview to promote it, she took some time to bash Taylor Swift.
Wow.
Yeah. Courtney says Taylor is not important. She might be a safe space for girls, and she's probably the Madonna of now, but she's not an interesting artist. Then she went after Beyonce. Oh, Courtney, because you're so important to everybody.
Yes, right.
Anyhow, She says, I like the idea of Beyonce doing a country record because it's about black women going into spaces where previously only white women have been allowed. I just don't like her music.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing.
Yeah, Courtney. And if you watch that Billy Joel concert Sunday night on CBS.
What a story this is.
They really screwed it. They screwed that pooch. They pooched that something. So at the very end, of course, he's wrapping up with Piano Man. Now, they had this concert because he's done 10 years of a residency at the Madison Square Gardens once a month. All sold right. out every show for 100 shows over 10 years.
Unreal.
Yeah, it's a very impressive story. And he had Jerry Seinfeld there, and Sting came out and sang. Others joined him. And I actually recorded. It was quite good.
I caught a bit of it. It was after the Masters.
Yeah.
And I caught a bit of it. I was watching it with Christian. I didn't stick around till the end. I just thought, oh, this is pretty neat. But I heard this story.
Yeah. So there's 2 minutes left in Piano Man. Probably, arguably, his most famous song of all time. And CBS just cuts away to go to the news. Now, I would have backed up and had the whole green jacket boring moment cut away from the Masters. Well,
the Masters went overtime, and so they were running late. And they wanted to get to, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock news?
11 o'clock news.
On time, and so they cut off Piano Man.
So they're going to just
imagine, you're sitting through, all right, fine, New York State of Mind and all this. Like, all right, keep playing. That's fun. I just want to play me Piano Man. Everyone wants to hear Piano Man.
Yeah.
Except the news director at CBS.
Some local news in Delaware needs to tell their story.
Yeah. Gotta get to that fire in Tonawanda in a hurry.
That's right. Scotty Scheffler sitting there saying nothing or Piano Man. I think we take Piano Man any day. It's very early in the morning, and if you're just waking up or you're in your car heading to work, you always feel every morning like you could have used an extra hour or two or three or 6 hours of sleep. Well, welcome to the club. Most of us aren't getting as much sleep as we'd like. It's the first time that's been the case since they started tracking this back in 2001. Over half say they feel better if they got more shut-eye. Women are even more underslept, and it's not good. I mean, on average, most say they only get about 5 hours a night. Only a quarter of us are getting the 8 hours we're supposed to get. And the body, of course, desperately needs sleep. It's what helps cure a lot of stuff that's going on with us. Now, I sense, because I know I'm guilty of this, there'll be many nights where I think I haven't slept well at all.
Right.
But I think I just haven't gone into the REM sleep as much, perhaps, as normal. So I always feel like I'm just hovering on that, you can kind of feel like you're in a bit of a zone of sleep, but you're kind of half awake, half asleep.
Well, it's kind of how the sleep cycle works that way.
Right.
Right? Like where you start off and then you go down into a deep sleep and then you're actually supposed to cycle back up.
Right.
And you naturally wake a few times per night, but just not kind of consciously awake.
Right.
It's when you get startled awake that you really get interrupted sleep.
Yeah.
If you've got a partner who snores or, kicks you or something, some sound banging happens in the night, it startles you awake to really interrupt your sleep.
It certainly can. My routine though, and this is, I think very healthy, is I'll go down at around noon. I wake up at 4. I drink and make dinner. I'm back in bed by 6 and I go down for another 10 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like a cat.
It's like a hibernation at that point.
Basically, I'm a bear.
And I guess that would be the question for shift workers, people like us who do nap. Does, if you get 4 hours overnight or 5 hours and then make it up with 2 or 3 hours in the afternoon in a nap situation, does the overall count matter or does it all have to be at once?
I would think it all has to be at once because any interrupted sleep. And I know, certainly for people who work different shifts, like if you're on overnights for 2 weeks and then days, that's physically really, really tough on you.
I feel like a zombie. Like, yeah. If you are not getting the right amount of sleep, you feel like a zombie.
Yeah.
You know, just can't decipher what day it is or time of day it is. And, you know, I remember when I first started this shift, was it 11 years ago or so? You know, the kids were young.
Mm.
And I thought younger. And so I was like, I won't need a nap. Come on. It can't be that hard. You're only working a few hours a day. And in the middle of the afternoon, like I picked them up from school or daycare or whatever, right, and just be yelling at them for no reason. And yeah, I'm sure they deserved it at some point, but I eventually said, you know, it's probably me.
Yeah.
More than it is them.
Now, are you yelling at Evan as you drive him to school now every morning?
I still drive him. Still yell constantly.
I guess I was joking with Adrian because I saw her.
Right.
Are you tying his shoes? And she was pretty quick. She goes, no, he has Velcro.
Right.
And then I said, are you still wiping his bum? Like, why are you not putting his arse on the bus?
Well, when she drives into work, she comes into the office here. And so to give him the extra hour of sleep, she'll just bring him here and I'll take him the 5 minutes the next
way. But then she turned around and went home yesterday. I followed her.
Right.
Right to the house.
Oh.
Yeah, we spent some time really? Together. Well, I knew you were going to be in Whippy or Stony Creek or wherever he goes to school.
Well, it is an hour and a half long bus ride.
Oh, that's so funny. Does he have a red carpet rolled out for him every morning?
No, but it's a great threat. The school bus becomes a great threat.
You won't put him back on it.
Oh, yeah.
You won't.
But it's a great threat. You always need, as a parent, you always need something in the back pocket to kind of hold over them, right? And like the whole, you know, we're not going to let you out of the house for the rest of your life thing doesn't quite stand up.
But isn't the ritual of the bus and even a sort of a struggle for, like, my kids went 40 minutes on the bus from Windsor to Bell River.
All right.
I took the bus every day.
Yeah.
I wasn't driving them.
Yeah. And I took the bus home every day from school as well. It's our lifestyle more than anything. When you're on the ice till 11 o'clock at night and you got to get up earlier to give them an extra hour of sleep, it works out better. And listen, it's more the mother. What do you want me to do?
No, I know. That's why I'm bringing it up now. Because every time I see them pull up, I'm like, oh, Jesus. What can they baby this kid anymore? Do you cut his food? Do you feed him like a bird? Do you chew his food and then spit it into his mouth for
him? Yes, that's what I'm aiming for the most. Well, I spit at him. I don't know if it's food that's going there.
How are you going to send him away to university? He won't know.
He'll live on campus,
I guess.
He'll
just sit there and starve. And will you, so if you send him off to BC to university or wherever you ship him off to because he's got to go, are you going to like drive out and take him to class every day?
It's a heck of a commute.
Yeah. Oh, I got to go. I got to take Evan to class. Where is he? In Surrey? Hey, listen, they're your kids. You do with them what you want. That's okay. They'll be fine when they leave the house in their 50s.
Rock Mornings with Craig Venn and Lucky. 94.9 The Rock.